just take a few minutes to preach. Hallelujah. Let's take our Bibles this evening. You've got to help me to preach. I've got a bad throat. I can hardly speak. Can I have some volume on this? I'll take it. Thank you. Exodus chapter 3. Third chapter and verses 1 to 5. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the back of the desert and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire from the midst of a bush. So he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, but the bush was not consumed. Then Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush does not burn. So when the Lord saw that he turned aside to look, God called to him from the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here I am. Therefore he said, Do not draw near this place. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place where you stand is holy ground. Amen. Hallelujah. The place that you stand is holy ground. Hallelujah. They said that God can never use a man until he gets to holy ground. Hallelujah. Which is the holy ground? You wouldn't think it is that few acres or that land that is there on top of that mountain that is holy. It is a place where God wants you to get into. A position which he wants to bring you into so that he can reveal his word into your life. He's saying, come into this position that I want you to come into, so I can reveal my word into your life. Just not a few meters of land somewhere in the Holy Land, where you go, which is holy, but a position which God wants to bring you into, where God can communicate with you. How many of you would love that? Amen. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. A place where he wants to get you into, where he's striving with you to bring you into that place. Amen. Hallelujah. Once a man of God came and asked the pastor, Pastor, what is the one simple thing or single thing that a man of God should have if he's going to serve the Lord? And this man of God said to him, this pastor said to him, the word relentless. Be relentless. I heard the TD Jakes say on that. Relentless. That means, no matter what, I'm still going to press him. That kind of attitude. No matter what happens, I'm not going to quit. I'm going to still press him. That kind of attitude. If you're going to serve the Lord, no matter what happens around you, no matter what happens in you, around you, no matter what happens in life, you need to have this attitude. I'm going to be relentless. No matter what happens, no matter what the enemy throws at me, no matter what happens in my life, I'm still going to press in to that place where God wants me to get into. Are you with me? Amen. Hallelujah. This is what relentless means, you know, actually, people who will not take no for an answer. Hallelujah. Amen. Sometimes a blessing might be delayed but not denied. And that is because you're willing to press on. You might be sitting here tonight saying, listen, I fasted for the 10 days and I'm so glad that somebody else got blessings, but still there needs to be a position in my life where I need to feel a blessing, and why is it not happening? God is telling you to be relentless. Still press on. There might be a delay, but he won't deny. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. See, there was a delay for the people of Israel to come out of bondage in Egypt. God said unto Abraham, your descendants shall be slaves in Egypt for 400 years. But we find in Acts 7 saying there were slaves there for 430 years. He was not denying them the liberty or the deliverance. There was a delay of 30 years. Are you with me? There was a delay, but the breakthrough came. Amen. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Now, why was there a delay? Now, just before I get into that, see, relentless, and there is a word called regret. You know that word regret? That word regret is what most people go to instead of relentless, you know. Regret means, you know, maybe I should have tried harder. I would have succeeded. Maybe I should have, maybe I shouldn't have taken that lime juice on the fifth day. I should have just stayed with water. That's regret. That's not relentless. Are you with me? You hear that? Maybe I should have been here for the first day onwards. And just because I showed up on the last 3 days, it looks like I missed a blessing. No. God is saying, don't get into regret, but get into that attitude called relentless. Relentless. Lord, I'm not going to take no for an answer because I know there's a calling in my life. I'm going to press on. Amen. Hallelujah. There might be a delay, but Lord, I know you won't deny. I'm your child. Hallelujah. I'm your child, Father, and I know you won't deny me. There might be some delays along the way, but hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I'm going to press into that which area called a holy place where I can receive the rhema for my life. Amen. See, why? You know, I have preached it myself. So many preachers have preached it that God kept Moses. I mean, it took 30 more years for Moses to be prepared so that people of Israel could come out of bondage. No. That, in a way, that is right. But in a way, that is no. You know why? Because, see, God is not going to allow somebody else to suffer because of you. Come on. God is not going to allow somebody else to suffer because of you. Are you with me? But why did he wait? Because God not only wanted, he was concerned about Moses individually, and he was concerned about the Israelites as a whole, but God wanted them to come to a place where the nation of Israel, having tried everything they could, they felt the need for God. A genuine need, a desperate need. Are you with me? See, God can never show up and say, I am who I am. If you're strong in yourself, why would you want a revelation of the Lord saying, I am who I am? You would say, fine, I can manage by myself. God will give you the revelation of who he is only when you come to a place where you say, I've tried everything. 400 years I've been trying to tug at this chains to fall apart from my life. I've tried everything. Nothing else to do. Lord, God of my fathers, save me. Are you with me? Moses, when he came to that place, God said, take off your shoes. You're wearing white. You know, shoes in a way stands for your rights. Your rights as a Hebrew. Your rights as a child. As a son. Slaves don't wear shoes. We know that. Your rights. I mean, throw everything at my feet. I want you to come to this place where you find that your rights, everything has been thrown away, that you are depending on nothing and no one else except on me. And then I can reveal myself to you. Hear that? Come on, church. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Some of you need that tonight, don't you? Maybe just relentless. Where you say, Lord, I know there's a blessing that you kept for me. I know there's a calling in my life. I'm going to be relentless. The devil used to attack me so many years. saying to me every time, you're not called. And you go about looking for some encouragement in someone, and nobody says anything else. I would go for meetings just to hear a prophecy of my life. Somebody say, I'm cold. They would say, I'm cold, C-O-L-D. I said, Lord, until I came to an end of myself, I said, Lord, no more am I going to look to anyone to let me know that I'm called, but I seek you, Lord, I seek you. Nobody can deliver me, nobody can bring me out of this, just nothing else, Lord. And when I came to an end in myself, that's the time he revealed. And when he revealed deep inside of me, that is fine. After that, many people have come to me and said, you're called. Who needs to hear that? I know I'm called. You'll go across the nation. I know that. Or will somebody else tell me that? Hallelujah. There'll be a big church who will come up in the city. I know that. It'll be 3 stories. I know that. It'll be much more than that. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. But that kind of communication from the mouth of the Lord will only come when you come to an end of yourself. Are you with me? When you come to an end of yourself, oh, I pray that we'll come to that kind of place, holy place. Nothing else. Lord, I can just crawl what I'm crawling, all right. That kind of hunger, that kind of desperation for the revelation of the Lord himself. Amen. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Look to Exodus chapter 4. What is this place called the holy place? And I heard one of the greatest men of God preach on this. Look to Exodus chapter 4 and look at a word here, which I want to just highlight. The 6th verse. Furthermore, the Lord said to him, now put your hand in your bosom. And he put his hand in his bosom, and when he took it out, behold, his hand was leprous like snow. That's the holy place. Till then Moses is saying, I'm a Hebrew. I'm a child of the Most High God. I'm a humble man. I'm a pious man. I'm zealous to evangelize. I know the covenant God made with my fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I know everything. God said, just put your hand in your heart, Moses. You're all that outside. Indeed, you are a humble man. You look after your father-in-law's sheep. You're a quiet man. You're a mild-mannered man. You know the covenant, Moses. But I brought you to a place. Now I want you to realize this. On the outward, you are fantastic, Moses. But Moses, just keep your own hand on your heart. And bring it out. My God, it is leprous. Woo! That's the holy place. Are you with me? Some of you suddenly realize you're in that place. You thought you were getting at a spiritual kind of strong, kind of capable, kind of mighty, fasting, praying, hallelujah, blessed be the name of the Lord. And suddenly you put your hand in your own heart and you blow it out, it's leprous. That's the place what God wants to bring you to. See, you know why? Because Moses, I'm going to take you to that place where you will have to raise that hand. It speaks about ministry. Your hand being raised speaks about ministry. Moses, when you raise your hand, I will part the seas. When you raise your hand, I will rain bread from heaven. When you raise your hand and strike the rock, I will bring water out of it. I will strike the Egyptians there when you raise your hand. Your hand is speaking about your ministry. I don't want you to go there and stand and raise your hand. I don't want it to be leprous at that time. So I want to do a work in you now. So when you go there, you can show my power to the people there. Hallelujah. Amen. Now just imagine you stepping into ministry or coming and raising your hand and saying, let the sick be healed. My hand is veiny. Will somebody pray for my hand? So God brings you to that place where suddenly you know your limitations, you know your weakness, you know those areas in your life. You know it so well that you have nowhere else to look to say, Lord, I need something fresh. Moses, keep your hand back there again. And says his hand became fresh. It's speaking about the righteousness of the Lord. Something that's not of you, that's something that I'm giving you fresh. That means new. Something I'm giving to you new. Once you realize in this place that you are not holy enough, not right enough, not sanctified enough, not worthy enough. Now, once again you look, and I will give you something new. Even tonight I pray, Lord, fill your children with something new from heaven. Something new, something fresh. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, Moses, I don't want you to raise your hand and show the power of Egypt, Moses. Are you with me? You say you're going back to Egypt to bring my people out? I don't want you to go there and show the power of Egypt. I know you're a man who studied in the University of Egypt. I know you killed someone with that hand. I know you have some strength in yourself. I don't want that to be evident there. I want my strength to be evident there, not your strength, Moses. Are you with me? Acts 7 says, in the 22nd verse, Moses was a mighty man in valor, in speech, in wisdom, in the expertise of Egypt. That's speaking about yourself, that's speaking about your self-strength and self-sufficiency. God says, no, Moses, I want to come to this holy place. You suddenly recognize you're too strong in yourself. Are you with me? You're too strong in yourself to do my work. And I'm scared that you will mess up. I have confidence in my power, but not in your power. Are you with me? That's what the Lord is saying. Hallelujah. Once God asked me one simple thing. He said, son, if I give you what you're asking me to give you, can I trust you with it? Will you still be dependent on me? I used to pray for a land in the city to do the work of God. 11 years. Many land people have offered. I said, no, that's not the one that the Lord is leading us to. No. Lord, your timing, when? And I said, Lord, and the Lord asked me a simple question, if I give you the property, will I be able to trust you with it? Because, you know, in my mind, I already planned out what I was going to do about it. Every day of the week, meetings after meetings after meetings. Nobody to say it has to stop by 9, it has to go on. As long as the Lord wants it, through the night, through the day, all the time. Bring in the servants of God from across the world. I had planned out all by myself. And God said, how will I trust you? You've already got your plans. If I give you the land, you just implement them. You're too strong in yourself. So can God handle you with what you're asking once you received it? If he were to give you what you are asking him now in this days of fasting and prayer, would he find you still dependent on him? Some of you are falling again and again and again. You know why? Because that's the only way God can trust you. That's the only way you will cry before his presence and call upon him. You hear that? That's the only way. I used to pray for a graveyard. Not for myself. Hallelujah. I said, Lord, so many people coming out for your kingdom. I don't want them to miss out anything. Give us a good place. The Lord said, will I be able to trust you with it? And suddenly I realized, ooh, yeah. Where would my submission be? Where would my gentleness and sweetness be? Like my brother said, you know, words you thought you would never have inside of you after you come to the Lord will come out. God said, will I be able to trust you with that? I said to the Lord, I'm sorry. I did not recognize you had brought me to that place. Some of you are in that place. Are you with me? Can he trust you with victory? How will you handle victory? Can he trust you with a gift? If he anointed you to prophesy, would you be prophesying from morning till night over everyone? Would you? Okay. Holy place is that place where God revealed you. But we got our own burial spot now, so you can die safely. Hallelujah. Amen. That is after the Lord touched my heart and said, son, can I trust you? And I said, yes, Lord. I'll still be the humble, nice boy that you want me to be. He said, then take that place, the best graves. Anybody wants to die today, don't be scared. I can bury you in a nice place. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Moses. Holy place is the place where you realize. Are you with me? Amen. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise be to the name of the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. You want to worship the Lord? Hallelujah. I feel a strong anointing of God wanting to move into this place. Just lift your hand to the Lord. Put your hand in your bosom and bring it out again. Let the Lord give you a freshness. Sula jahakaran. Ruhala jahakaturan janahatamana.